There are some things in life that just go together. It's an obvious combination. When you hear the first one, you automatically think of the second one. So for example, if I say peanut butter, you're going to think jelly. If I say bacon, you're going to think eggs. They just go together. The first one makes you think of the second one. There are other combinations that aren't so obvious. It doesn't make as much sense that they go together. For example, if I say shredded carrots, I'm guessing not very many of you are going to think orange Jell-O. But my grandmother thought that way when I was growing up. She had a thing. She called it Jell-O salad. It looked like this. How many of you have had Jell-O salad before? That is far too many of you. Those things should not go together. I don't know if my grandma was hiding the vegetables within the Jell-O or if she liked it, but it's not obvious that the shredded carrots makes you think of the Jell-O. Today we're going to be talking about two things where it's not as obvious that they should go together. The first one doesn't automatically make you think of the second one. We'll be talking about the unlikely path to hope. As we get started today, I'd like to ask, what is something that you're hoping for today? What is something in your life that you are desperately wanting to change or to have be different, either in your life or in the life of someone that you care about? I don't feel like I need to share examples of the sorts of things that you might be hoping for, because I think as soon as I asked the question, for many of you, something came immediately to mind. See, we have a lot that we wish were different in our lives. We have a lot of things that we wish could come true. We're looking for hope, and we don't always feel hopeful. And today, we're going to talk about the unlikely path to hope, and we're going to talk about how we can live once we've found hope. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for these people. We thank you for the wonderful baby dedications that we got to just witness tonight. God, you want us to be people of hope, and you want our hope to be found in you. Help us to become more of those people today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we get started talking about hope, I want to make sure we're talking about hope in the same way, because the reality is we use hope to mean different things. Sometimes when we say we're hoping for something, we're really talking about wishful thinking. It's sort of a fingers crossed, knock on wood, something you want to be true, but it's not anchored in anything, and deep down, you actually think it's probably not likely to come true. It's kind of like the Vikings fans that hope this is going to be their year. They hope it's true, but deep down they don't think it's true. It's wishful thinking. That's not the kind of hope that we're talking about today. Today we're talking about a hope that is a confidence in the future. It's anchored in something that we believe has the ability to impact the outcome. We're talking about a hope that can help us get through the really hard situations in life. But what do you do when you need hope, but you don't feel hopeful? In the organization where I work, we have a lot of long-term objectives. There are things that we want to accomplish, but we know that accomplishing it is several years out into the future. But we're still making decisions today, and we're hoping that the strategic decisions we make today create value for the moment and are getting us closer to the long-term objectives that we're aiming for. But we needed a system to evaluate whether that was actually happening. So we created a thought experiment. We call it a value chain. And the value chain works like this. It's a series of if this, then what statements. So if we're in this point in time, and we make the strategic decision that seems to make the most sense in this moment, then what? Where does that get us? That gets us to this point. Okay, if we're at this point and we make the decision that we think makes the most sense, then what? Where does that get us? That gets us to this point. It's a series of if this, then what statements, and we try to evaluate if the first decision we make is putting us on a path to get to the objective that we're aiming for. We call it a value chain. Yoda understood value chains when he's talking to Luke Skywalker in The Empire Strikes Back. See, they're talking about the dark side of the Force, and Luke is certain that he won't be tempted to join the dark side. But Yoda understands that it's a series of events that can lead to it. And so he says, fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering, and suffering leads to the dark side. He said, it's all about how you react to the fear in life that determines whether you put on a path that puts you in a place where you don't want to go. It's a chain of events. And I bring that up because I believe that today's passage of Scripture is a value chain to hope. It is a series of seasons that can get us to being the hopeful people that God wants us to be. Our scripture is found in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. It was written by Paul. If you have your Bibles, please go ahead and open those today, and we will also have it up on the screen. Paul says, "But we glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance produces character, and character leads to hope. And hope does not put us to shame." Some translations say, "And hope does not disappoint." So Paul says that the path to hope is a four-step value chain. You can't get directly to hope. There's no shortcuts. And Paul says that it starts with suffering. It starts at a point where none of us would actually prefer that it start. There's a passage of Scripture in James that I want to suggest is a parallel passage to this one. I think James is trying to make a similar point. Let's take a look at that passage together as well. James says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it'll be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt." So they suggest that it's a four-step chain. And let's take a look at the comparisons between these two chains. Here's Paul's. Paul says it begins with suffering. The second link is perseverance. And then it gets to character. And then it leads to hope. Now let's look at how James describes it. He says that it begins with a testing of your faith. The second season he talks about is perseverance. So he's talking about the same exact word here. Then James says it's mature and complete, and Paul uses the word character. So mature and complete are descriptions of a character trait. So again, we're talking about the same thing. Paul says that it ends at hope. James says you can believe and not doubt. So that's a certainty for the future, which is also talking about hope. So both Paul and James lay out the process for getting to hope, and they both say that it starts in a really hard season. Paul says suffering. James says testing of your faith. So what that means is we're not talking about just a little bit of suffering. We're not talking about a minor inconvenience. We're talking about life kicking you in the teeth moments. We're talking about situations that are going to feel so hard that it actually will make you question what you believe. They say that we are going to experience moments in our life that will force us to answer the question of whether we believe God can keep His promises. We are going to experience hard things like that, and Paul wants us to be prepared for it. It's like when each of my kids was learning to drive and Corrine and I sat them down to prepare them for the situations that they would be facing. And so we'd say, when you get in an accident, here's what we want you to do. Or when you get pulled over by a police officer, here's what you do. And each of my kids didn't like it when we said when. They would have rather we said if. But we said pretty much every driver over their lifetime will get in an accident. And pretty much every driver over their lifetime will be pulled over by a police officer. So we want you to do the right thing in that moment and not the wrong thing. We want you to be prepared. And that's what Paul is saying here. You're going to experience trials in life, and I want you to be ready for it. See, the reality is none of us were built for these seasons that we're going to be facing. When God created humanity, He designed us to be perfect people living in a perfect world. But when sin entered the world, we lost all of that. But we are ill-equipped to deal with the pain and the loss and the trauma and the failure and the grief that we are going to experience. But the ability to navigate these hard things, it has to be built within us. Paul tells us that we should expect suffering, and that's a critical step in leading us to hope. But Paul assumes that when the suffering hits, when these hard seasons are upon us, Paul assumes that in those moments that you will look to God to help you get through those seasons. But that's not your only option. And the reality is, Satan is going to use every opportunity he can to turn your attention away from God. And suffering has been a really successful tool for him. I have a coworker who told me that when her mom died earlier this year, she was experiencing so much grief, and it was so hard, and that she chose not to lean on the lessons she'd learned in the church growing up. She decided to go and have conversations with psychics, because the psychic was telling her that she could continue to have a connection with her mom. The psychic was saying, I can allow you to talk to your mom even though she's no longer here. So that meant that my coworker didn't have to live in this grief. She was able to feel like she could move through it quickly because it was like her mom was still here. Now, that might seem crazy to you, and it might seem crazy to me. We wouldn't go to psychics, but the reality is, when we go through hard things, we are tempted to look for shortcuts. We're tempted to look for off-ramps that get us out of the suffering and get us to feeling better. For some people, that might be looking to alcohol or to drugs to numb the pain for a little while so they don't have to think about what they're going through. For some people, that might be going on a shopping spree, so you get that hit of dopamine when you're buying fun new purchases. We're going to have lots of things we're tempted to look to when we go through these hard seasons, and Paul wants you to make the choice of looking to God. In fact, the rest of this verse becomes invalid if you don't make the choice that Paul assumes that you're going to make. In these moments, we need to turn to God. We need to step up our prayer life to a greater degree than we ever have before. We need to dig into the scriptures more than we ever have before. We need to spend more time praising God than we ever have before, because that's what puts us on the pathway to hope. When we turn to God in our suffering, then God can produce in us perseverance. And perseverance is the second link in the chain. Another word we could use here is endurance. A couple of weeks ago, I ran the Newton Hills Trail Race with my son, Isaiah. He'd asked me if I wanted to run it with him, and I said yes, and then I realized I wasn't ready for the Newton Hills Trail Race because Newton Hills State Park has a lot of hills to it, and most of my running is on flat ground because hills are hard, and I don't want to run them. But I realized I needed to start training with the hills. And so the first hill workout that I did was on the treadmill in our basement. I set the incline at 10%, and then I did repeats. I'd run for 2 minutes up the hill, and then I'd rest, and then 2 minutes up the hill, and then I'd rest, and on and on. And it was super hard, and I felt like I was dying. I must have sounded like I was dying because my wife, Corrine, called down from upstairs to check on me because she was worried about me. That's how much I was struggling. But I kept doing hill workouts week after week, and I found that over time, I could run up the hill for a little bit longer. I could run up a little bit steeper hills. And then eventually the race came, and I found that I was able to get up and over every hill that was part of the course. See, all of the suffering that I had done in my training produced in me perseverance or endurance for the race that was coming. And Paul says that in the same way that your training can build endurance in your life with physical training, he says that can be true when it comes to your ability to navigate the hard seasons that you're facing. The reality is that the more you suffer, you can get better at suffering. And that sounds like a terrible prize, I know. We'd rather just not suffer at all. But the reality is we're going to go through these seasons, so we should want to get better at it. But you're not just getting better at it, you're developing perseverance. And perseverance looks a little like this. You're going to start to feel like you can get your head above water just a little bit. You're going to be able to breathe. You're going to be able to look around and see things beyond the crisis that you're experiencing. See, in the early days, you're going to be in such shock, you can't even hardly make it through the day. You're not going to be able to feel like you'll ever be able to feel normal again. But as God works within you and builds perseverance, you can move beyond that season and you can start to hear from God, and you're going to understand that He is walking with you. See, you don't just get better at suffering, you can begin to form a deeper connection with God. That's what this second season is about. That's what happens as God builds within you some perseverance. And that deeper connection with God is what gets you to the third link of the chain, which is character. The type of character we're talking about here is a formed character. It's a developed character. It's not something you were born with. It's nothing you inherited. The only way to get this type of character is from that deeper connection that you formed with God as you're walking through this hard season of life. And you're going to need this character. This is a character trait that's going to help you experience God's hope. There are all sorts of scriptures that talk about character traits in relationship to the hope that God wants you to have. I want to highlight five of them real quickly. These are five character traits that are going to help you experience hope in God. The first one is patience. God's timing is different than our timing. Chances are you are going to need to wait on Him to act. And patience isn't something we come by naturally. God's going to develop within you the ability to be patient during this season. The second one is expectancy. It's similar to patience, but expectancy means that while I'm waiting, I have confidence that God is going to act. I'm not just waiting with wishful thinking, but I have belief that something is going to happen. That's expectancy. Third is stability. You're going to need stability to be formed within you. Otherwise, you're just going to spiral out of control. And God doesn't want that for you. He's forming within you the stability that's grounded with confidence in Him. The next one is purification, which might not seem as obvious to you, but the reality is you have things in your heart and I have things in my heart that God wishes weren't there. And as we're forming this deeper connection with Him, He's going to begin to reveal in us those things in our heart that are keeping us from a stronger relationship with Him. And He's going to start working on those things with us, and we're going to start removing those things from our life. God is going to purify us during that season, and that's going to allow us to see Him at work more in our life. Purification is super important. And the last one is trust. It is really hard for us to trust someone other than ourselves. That has to be built within us. And that is a character trait that God is going to form in your life. You're going to need these character traits, because if you don't have them, hope is really hard to hold on to. You might feel hope for a day, but then it's going to be fleeting, and you'll wake up the next day and you're going to feel like you're right back in the middle of the suffering at the beginning of your journey. But with these character traits, you're going to find that you can hold on to hope, and that's the fourth link in the chain. Suffering leads to perseverance. Perseverance forms character, and character leads to hope. And again, this hope is not the wishful thinking, fingers crossed variety of hope. This is hope that is having a certainty about the future that's going to change the way that you live in the present. Hope in God means that you expect great things from God. And God wants you to expect great things in Him. He wants you to look to Him and to look to Him alone. And He says, I'm going to do great things in your life. See, the last line of the scripture we're looking at says, hope does not put us to shame. Other translations, hope does not disappoint. God says, if you put your hope in me and in me alone, I'm not going to let you down. You're not going to have to be embarrassed. You won't be put to shame. You will not regret it if you put your hope in me. And this verse is a callback to something that God said in Isaiah when He says, you'll know that I'm the Lord. Those who hopefully wait for me will not be put to shame. If you're in a hard season and you're finding it hard to hold on to hope, can I encourage you, don't look to shortcuts that are going to ease your pain for a moment. Turn to God, form that deeper connection with Him. Trust God to work through this process to build a lasting hope within you. But if you're in a season where you need hope and you don't yet feel like you have hope, I've got two suggestions for you. The first one is this: if you don't yet have hope, borrow it from someone else. A while ago, Corrine and I were going through a hard season, and we hadn't gone through something like this before, so we remembered there were some people here at church that had walked through something similar. So I called up the husband, and I said, hey, here's what we're going through, and it kind of reminds me about what you went through, and he said, we can help you with this. We were built for this. Isn't that an amazing sentence? We were built for this. And when he said that, it called to mind the scripture that we've been talking about today. What I heard him saying essentially was, we went through a season of suffering. And in that suffering, we turned to God. We dove into the scriptures and we spent time in prayer and praise. And through that, God built within us a sense of perseverance. And in that perseverance, we formed a deeper connection with God. And now that we have that, God formed some character traits within us. And those character traits of trust and expectancy have built within us an unshakable hope. And now that we have an unshakable hope, we want to show you and tell you how God worked in our life. We were built for this. And so we met with them, and they did exactly what we were hoping they would do. They talked about how God was at work in their story. They talked about the faithfulness of God, how God walked with them through this, and how God redeemed their hard situation. And we were super encouraged. We said, you know, we're not yet at a point where we feel hope, but we're going to borrow some of yours. We're going to remember the story of God's faithfulness to you, and we're going to hold on to that until we see God at work in our situation. If you don't yet have hope, borrow it from someone else. This church is large enough that whatever it is you're walking through, I can guarantee you somebody else in this building has walked through something similar. And if they have seen God work in their lives, if they have built an unshakable hope, they are going to be thrilled to tell you about it and to help you with your journey. Call the church office. They will do their level best to put you in contact with somebody that can share their hope with you. If you don't have hope yet, borrow it from someone else. The second thing is, if you don't see signs of hope, ask for it. I believe God wants to show you how He is working in your life. A while ago, I took a promotion at work, and this promotion meant that I was going to have to travel more, and my kids were in high school and middle school at the time, and so I wasn't going to be around them as much. And so we came up with a system that would allow us to be in regular connection with them, and that system involves, this guy right here. This is Max Rebo. Max plays in the Cantina band in the Star Wars movie. This is a Max Rebo action figure. And so on all of my trips, I took Max with me. Wherever I went, Max went too. So for example, here's a picture of Max on the left in front of the Washington National Monument. On the right, there he is at the beach in Florida. Here's Max in front of the J. Edgar Hoover FBI building. On the right, he's just with me in an airport eating a burger and fries. And here is Max at Waldrug. He's little, but he's sitting on the saddle of the jackalope. Wherever I went, Max went, and I took pictures of Max, and I'd send them back to my kids at home. And when I would send them pictures of Max, that was my way of reminding them that I loved them. It was my way of showing them that I was thinking about them all the time. And if it was important for me to show my kids that I loved them, and it was important to me to remind them that I'm thinking about them, how much more do you think your Heavenly Father wants to break into your day and remind you that He's crazy about you? How much more do you think God wants to remind you that He's thinking about you and that He is walking through this hard season with you? If you're not seeing signs of God at work in your life, ask Him for it. I believe He wants to show you what He's up to. You may not get a big mountaintop experience. It may just be His still small voice telling you, trust me. See, the reality is, like C.S. Lewis says, God's presence is not the same as the feeling of God's presence. And he may be doing his most for us when we think he's doing least. If you're not seeing signs of God at work, ask him, and I believe he'll be faithful. God wants you to hope in him. He wants you to look to him alone. And you might be thinking, this sounds like a really long, hard process. How do I know that hope in God is worth this journey that you just laid out? It sounds really hard. How do I know that hope in God is worth the effort? So I'd like to end by telling you the answer to that question. I'd like to talk about why we can have such assurance that hope in God is worth it. There's a passage of scripture that I want to share with you, but before I do, let me set the stage. Let me tell you what's happening in the midst of this verse. 3 days prior, Jesus was executed. He was crucified on a cross, and all of his followers scattered. Followers were lost. They didn't know what to do next. And now it's 3 days later, and there's rumors that the body of Jesus is missing. And there's two disciples that are just completely wrecked. They're walking down a road. They're distraught. They don't know what to do next. They are just beside themselves with grief and uncertainty. And while they're walking down this road, another person is walking down the road as well. And that person can see that the two disciples are really distraught. And so the stranger asks them what they're dealing with. And the disciples say, "We were followers of Jesus. We were all in. He had taught like nobody we'd ever heard before. He had performed miracles like nothing we had ever seen before. We made a big bet on Jesus. We put all our chips to the middle of the table, and then they killed him. And now we don't know what to do. We didn't think this was part of the plan." And then it says in verse 21, "But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. We had put our hope in Jesus, and now it looks like that was a mistake. We had put our hope in Jesus, and now we feel like fools. We don't know what to do next. It looks like hoping in Jesus was a mistake." And if you know the story, you know that the stranger walking beside them is actually Jesus. It's the risen Christ. And he begins to explain to them why he did what he did. He goes back to the Old Testament. And he starts talking about the prophecies, the things that God said he was going to do to redeem Israel, and how the death of Jesus was part of God's plan. It's like Jesus is saying, "I had to do this, and I did it for you because that's what God said he was going to do." And then Jesus reveals to the disciples who he is. He shows himself to be Jesus, and then he disappears. So the death and resurrection of Jesus shows us all kinds of amazing things. First, it does create that pathway between us and God. It allows our sins to be forgiven. It allows us to know we can spend eternity with God in heaven. We are going to get to a place where there is no more suffering, where there is no more pain, and there is no more grief. And Jesus offered us that from that moment. But like a television pitch man, but wait, there's more. Because in that moment, Jesus revealed something else for us that has significant consequences for this moment. When Jesus died and was resurrected, roughly 300 prophecies came true in the blink of an eye. See, between Good Friday and Easter, in that one long weekend, 300 promises about things that God said he was going to do, he did. God had been speaking through prophets for thousands of years. He said, "This is what I'm going to do." He was very specific. He was very exact. And in the blink of an eye, he fulfilled all of those promises. So in addition to securing our future, God showed us that he keeps his promises, and we can have confidence in that. God keeps his promises, period. So what that means is we can look to the verse of Hebrews where it says, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." So I have to ask, do you want an anchor for your soul today? That's what God wants you to have. So when we read like in Isaiah, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I'm your God. I am going to strengthen you, I'm going to help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. When we read that, we can believe him because God keeps his promises. And when we read in Deuteronomy, the Lord himself goes before you and he will be with you. He will never leave you. He won't forsake you. Don't be afraid. Do not be discouraged. When we read that, we can take comfort in that because we know that God keeps his promises. If you're a follower of Jesus, then you know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. So if you're not seeing good yet, you can trust that God is still working and that that is coming because God keeps his promises. God is at work in your life. Getting to hope is a process. It starts with suffering. Get some perseverance built in. God's going to shape your comfort, your character. And then ultimately, it's going to give you unshakable hope. We can trust and hope in God, and we can have confidence that God will not disappoint. And I hope you can experience that hope in your lives. If you need prayer for anything, if you're walking through a hard season and it would be helpful to have someone pray with you, come down front afterwards. There will be people here that would be honored to pray with you. And if you don't know about what Jesus did for you and the hope that that can secure for your eternal future, talk to these people at front. They would be thrilled to talk with you about that as well. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the pathway to hope that you created. We thank you that we can have unshakable hope built within us that is anchored in you and the work that you want to do in our lives. Help us to be the people of hope that you want us to be. Amen. Thank you for coming. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord and be people of hope. Amen.